Marketing for a nonprofit isn't about selling. It's about messaging. It's how we stay connected with our donors, our volunteers, and the people we serve. It's how we invite new people to become part of our mission. But sometimes it can feel never ending. There's always another post to write, another story to tell, another update to share. And while I work hard to do all things marketing, there are definitely parts I dread, like creating and scheduling content for social media, or remembering how many times I need to talk about something so people actually hear it. That's where Engie comes in. Engie feels like a marketing partner who really gets me. It helps me figure out what to say, when to say it, and how to engage my audience in a way that feels true to my brand. It even helps me write everything in my voice and puts it all together in one big calendar so I can see how it's all going to play out. I can track what's working, plan what's next, and actually feel confident about my marketing. And I love the extras, like the monthly group coaching calls with experts, the simple social media scheduler, and the AI blog writer that makes creating content so much easier. So if you're ready for marketing to finally make sense, check out the link in the show notes. Trust me, you're going to love it. I want to take a quick moment to tell you about a platform I've been really impressed with. It's called Benevolate. Benevolate is a super intuitive CRM designed specifically for nonprofits, museums, and synagogues. It helps you manage donors, track relationships, and simplify the giving process, all in one easy-to-use place. What I love most is that the core package has no monthly fees for nonprofits, museums, or synagogues. None. There's just a small transaction fee, and donors can even choose to cover it, so your organization keeps more of every contribution. It's simple, smart, and built to make your mission easier to manage. If you've been looking for a better way to organize your supporters and grow your impact, check out Benevolate, where generosity meets simplicity.
You know, I think the biggest thing you can say to a nonprofit is don't be afraid of open communication. Don't be afraid to ask those hard questions. Just come in and let's have a conversation. If you leave without opening an account, if you leave without even, if you took something away from that meeting, then we have done our job.
Welcome to the Nonprofit Nook, the podcast for nonprofit leaders, board members, and community changemakers who want to build stronger, smarter organizations. I'm your host, Wendy Kidd, a longtime business owner and nonprofit leader. And I'm here to bring you real talk, real tools, and real stories to help you thrive in the nonprofit world. I'll be talking with local nonprofit leaders, community changemakers, and experts in everything from board development to fundraising and digital tools, sharing real stories and simple strategies you can actually use. Because running a nonprofit is hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Let's get started. Today, I'm excited to welcome Andrew Lee with First United Bank. Andrew has nearly 18 years of experience in banking and has spent the last 7 years with First United, leading retail banking across DFW markets, including McKinney and Denton. He holds an MBA from Texas A&M University Texarkana and is deeply committed to leadership and service. Andrew has served as treasurer for Volunteer McKinney for 3 years and for the Melissa Chamber of Commerce for 4 years. And he's completed the foundational leadership course through Stegan Leadership Academy. With a passion for mentoring, community impact, and developing people, I'm excited to have Andrew on the podcast. Welcome, Andrew.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I was so excited when you said yes.
I was so excited when you offered for me to come on.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I asked you on, and just so you know, you listeners know, I asked Andrew on because I feel like there's a disconnect sometimes with nonprofits understanding how to have a good relationship with a bank and what that kind of brings to the table. You know, as a small business owner, we're taught to have that relationship and what the perks and the businesses are and, you know, how to go about it and what banks are good. But I don't think nonprofits are really educated on that. So I'm so happy you're here to do some of that today.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Happy to talk about it.
Well, okay. So let's jump in. When people hear build a relationship with your banker, what does that actually look like in real life for a nonprofit?
I mean, for anybody, I mean, not just singling out a nonprofit, it's just getting to know who they are, you know, who they're serving, what they are as an organization, whether it's a business, a person, or a nonprofit. We want to know who you are and like build that relationship. We're a relationship type bank.
Right. So, it's not just a transaction.
And it's not just a transaction.
Yeah.
And that would be the transaction would be the last thing that we would say.
Yeah. I mean, how do you go about building that relationship?
It's about sitting down and listening to the person and getting to know where they are. We want to know all about your organization. When we invite you in, it is basically to get to know who you are, get to know what your nonprofit serves. What are you going to do for the community? That's what we want to hear. We will talk about banking, but that's going to be at the back end of the conversation.
Yeah. So red flag, if your banker is not inviting you in.
Yeah.
That's a red flag.
We're coming to you. We're inviting you in. We are, because our bank wants you to be, we want you to immerse into the experience of the bank, but we're going to invite you in. We're going to come to you, whatever is best for you, the customer, the nonprofit, whoever it is.
Yeah. So what are some of the biggest ways a nonprofit kind of benefits from having that go-to banker, that person that, you know, like me, I could text you.
Yeah.
What's the benefits that they could
texting,
think of?
You know, like, you know, that's a one benefit. I actually wrote that down, is texting your banker, having that connection, being able to ask those questions that you're afraid that you can't walk into, you know, a bigger bank and say, hey, you know, like, what about this? Bouncing those ideas off of them, you know, saying, hey, you know, I don't have a lot of money, but we're just getting started. You know, those type things, like where you really want to ask and peel back those layers. We're the bank to do that with, because we're not scared for you to ask those questions, you know?
Right. You know, I can say this because Andrew and I have this relationship, but I'll be like, hey, I can't figure out, do you guys take Zelle, or how do I do this on the portal? But, you know, I think it goes so much further than that. Like you said, it's, you know, we can come to you with, I've had a cash flow problem. What do I do? I've had this opportunity, but I don't know how to take advantage of it. Or do you know a better way that I can manage my money so I'm reporting it correctly? You know, things like that.
Oh, definitely. Like we have those solutions in everything you just said.
Yeah.
Whether it's like you have a cash flow problem and we need to sit there and work through it. Like, where is the problem? Let's sit there and dissect, you know, where your money's going.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of nonprofits especially don't really know where they're spending their money.
No.
And like, is there a solution that could really benefit them better?
Yeah.
Not even is it just the software they're using or the tools that they're using, but like is there something that could be changed within their ecosystem that could, you know, really, you know, save them money or even make them more money?
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of people in nonprofits, when they first get started, they also have no idea, if they have never owned a business, they have no idea what banking looks like for a business. Or much less a nonprofit. So what's some of the common, what are some of the mistakes that people make, Andrew? Tell us a little bit about
that. I think going too fast, going way too fast, wanting to grow too fast. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with growing slow. There's nothing wrong with that. I think taking baby steps, really doing your research. Many times I, you know, have seen a lot of nonprofits that the passion outweighs everything else, which is great. Don't lose that passion, but you got to understand how to make that work for you, because your passion could get you in trouble sometimes.
Truth. It happens to all of us.
It happens to all of us. It does. I mean, like, I, you know, will be the first to tell you, I get gung-ho, I have an idea, I run for it, and then I got to like, oh, I got to slow down. I got to make this happen. I've got to like really slow down and really see how this can be a reality.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want it to happen in a year, but is it feasible for my organization, for my nonprofit to be done in a year? Yeah. So, I mean, the second thing I would say is communication, having those open conversations with your banking institution, because we have so many resources that we can plug you into that could really benefit you. Conversations with other local nonprofits.
Sure.
Having worked with other nonprofits and kind of like telling them, like, you know, what has worked and what hasn't worked, what we've seen, what works in the market that they're in, who are they serving? You know, is that nonprofit oversaturated in this market, but not over here? You know, my bank is spread out through DFW, different markets serve different types of different nonprofits serve different types of clientele. Like, you know, Dallas is a little bit different than McKinney. So I see it all. You know, I've like I said, you said earlier, I've served both in the Denton and McKinney markets, completely different over there in Denton. Similar, but different.
Yeah.
You know, university town, you know, different things we're serving. So you've got to really ask those questions, communicate with your banker, having that open dialogue.
Yeah. Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid
to come to the bank. They've seen it all, folks. They've seen it
all. We've seen it all.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
You should not be afraid to ask. And if you are afraid, if you feel like you can't ask those questions, you're not at the right bank.
Yeah.
You're not at the right bank.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So are they, and I know that I didn't give you this question beforehand, so I'm asking you on the spot. So who are they looking for at the bank to develop a relationship? What kind of job titles are they looking for at their bank? Who should they be talking to?
I mean, my staff, I want them to be your go-to. I want myself, I want my Spend Life Wisely ambassador, Denise. Mm-hmm. I want anybody that you walk into the lobby, I want them to feel like family. Mm, okay. And that's how I, you know, coach my bankers, to be a family. I want them to know you by name. Mm-hmm. I want you to come in. I want them to be like, if I'm not there, oh, I'm going to go talk to so-and-so.
Right.
You know,
right.
And they're going to take care of me.
I think that's a good tip, because there's so many times you walk into these banks
you don't know who they are.
If you don't know the person that you're trying to talk to, or if you don't know what product specifically it relates to, they kind of look at you like, well, then who do you want to talk to?
We have at our bank, they're called relationship bankers for a reason. Not even on the retail side. It's on the lending and the retail side, both. Mm-hmm. We are a relationship type bank. We want to get to know you on that level to where, we know what your banking situation is, but what else is going on in your life?
Yeah.
How does your business running? You know, how can we support you as a whole?
Yeah.
Because that's who we are.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm going to ask you to spill a little tea and tell me some mistakes you've seen people make that could have been prevented.
Oh my gosh. Goodness.
I mean, I can throw some at you if you want me to.
Throw them at me. I've probably seen them.
I mean, something that I have seen a lot in nonprofits is they don't have a clear process as to who should be the signer, who should have access to the accounts.
You need to really have that again, back to a conversation you have with your banker or within your organization. You should know who's going to be on there beforehand. If you're new, I get that. You're probably not going to weed that out. That is a conversation that you can have with me and saying, hey, this is traditionally what I see in an organization your size.
And I think that the experience is valuable.
It is very valuable.
Because they don't know what should be. So they could come to you and they could say, hey, who should be signers on my account? Yeah. You know, I think another thing that I see is they don't have any kind of idea how to use the accounts correctly to bank professionally. I should put it that way. You know, they commingle their funds. They just have one checking account they use for everything. There's no such thing as a savings account.
You know, I've seen a little bit of everything in that regard. It's nothing wrong with having one account, but when you get to a certain level and you start getting in donor checks and you're starting to get in like grants and all that type, and you start commingling those funds, you really need to educate yourself on, like, especially for grants. I mean, you have to certain types of grants, not all grants, but you have to use that money in a structured way specified by the grant.
Yes.
And so That's a conversation that, in a way, you need to educate yourself, because so I always try to let people know. I said, hey, don't convolute those funds. Try to, you know, make sure that you have a separate account for that, because it's easier tracking for yourself.
Right.
Of course, you as the nonprofit have the ability to do what you want. I'm only suggesting, I'm only giving my guidance to what I've seen.
Sure.
You know, payroll should not be running out of just a general account that all of your purchasing is coming from.
Right.
It should be separate. Yeah. That's just my suggestion.
What are some other separate accounts that they should have, since we're on the topic?
Programming. Mm-hmm. So if you're holding events,
I
would suggest that. Mm-hmm. Operating account is one thing, and everything can funnel through the operating account into the other accounts, but divide it up, make it easier on yourself. I know it's having extra accounts seems like a lot of work. It's going to, at the end of the year, when you're doing your books and you're doing all that stuff, it is going to simplify your life.
Yeah. Well, and it's also easier for your grant tracking, because if you have 100%. A restricted grant that can only go to these services, then it should be, there should be an account for just those services. So nothing else is hitting that grant money.
Exactly.
Makes it way easier.
Then if you have it commingled with your operating account, it's going to be a lot, because speaking of, like, for me, from as a treasurer for two different organizations, it's hard to differentiate. Was this funds for this event, or was this just general funds?
Yeah.
You know, it makes my life harder as a treasurer.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm the one looking at the books every month.
Yeah. Well, and let's lean into your treasurer experience for a second. So talk about internal controls. So things like, who should be able to sign checks? What limits do you see when people have to have double signers on checks? What are some of the internal practices of a nonprofit when it's a treasurer role mm-hmm. that you see to help manage money wisely?
I think you as the treasurer should not be afraid to ask the question, where's this money going? Like, absolutely. why are we spending this much money? That is really and truthfully my job is checks and balances. Mm-hmm. I may not be the one on the day to day, like seeing like every little transaction, but I'm going to look at it at the end of the month and I'm going to say, okay, did we really need to spend this amount of money on this? Or could we have done this?
Yeah.
Could we have had a conversation prior to that? Don't be afraid. I know a lot of us, and especially myself, I'm a board member. Yeah. I'm not in the day-to-day weeds of the organization. But sometimes you need to kind of take a minute, invest a little bit into what you're signing up for and that board position, and say, hey, don't be afraid to ask those questions. Like, because sometimes you can expose red flags.
Yes.
Situations that, you know, you need to kind of be peeled back, and things that you can circumvent from happening and becoming a bigger issue down the road.
Right. And I think that it's important, because I think a lot of people are like, oh gosh, I don't want her to feel like I'm questioning how she's doing her job.
No.
But that's not the point of the question. The point of the question is, are we managing our money efficiently?
Exactly.
You know, yes, of course, you could reveal fraud with your questions, mm-hmm. but 99% of the time, that's not what's going on. No. If somebody didn't understand how to use the money correctly, or they took it out of the wrong account unexpectedly, or something simple, but you as the treasurer, kind of the buck stops here, you know, because that's why we need the treasurer. We need that second set of eyes.
Yeah, it's, you know, at the bank, we tried it, like when we teach your bankers, it's counting cash three times when it comes out of the machine, when you go back to yourself and back to the customer. Mm-hmm. So it's just a checks and balances. You need to review it. Someone needs to review it, like your ED or whoever is running your organization or the board. Everybody needs to check. It needs to touch three different people.
Yes.
I think, because it's a checks and balances.
Yeah.
It's not our money. It's the organization's money.
Yeah.
And we want to be good stewards of that money. Sure. And we want to make sure that, you know, we're doing what the best thing. Again, communication. It's having that conversation, not being afraid to have that conversation. Having a good relationship with your bank is also another reason, you know, to help kind of circumvent some of that stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just about having that fiduciary responsibility.
Exactly.
Right. So what else do you kind of see, from a treasurer role, internal controls wise, like, you know, what do you typically see? Who typically has access to the bank account directly?
It's usually your president, mm-hmm. Your ED, of course, mm-hmm. And then your treasurer.
Okay.
Sometimes they'll put like a vice chair on there, just because the president's not always has access mm-hmm. or the time to get up there. Excuse me. Some organizations want that flexibility to where they don't have to always be the one.
Right.
A lot of people put limits on the amounts. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing. Mm-hmm. Some people, like, you can spend up to $2,000. After that, it's two signers.
Yeah.
If it's a special event, they lay it out. They, you know, and we put those notes on the account. We structure it however they feel best to do it. Mm-hmm. But then it's in the organization's hands, basically how they want that done.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Well, and I've also seen, like, some of them, the treasurer will have access to view, but they won't be a signer on the account, because that way it's never questioned whether the treasurer did that transaction or not.
Exactly.
They're simply there to review it.
Yeah. That's true. You can, I've seen both ways, mm-hmm. Where you've had access to everything. You can move money, do things like that, just because you're kind of like, but doing the, depending on how hands on you want to be,
yeah,
and how your organization is set up, and how big or small it is. If you are just the treasurer and you're, and you are of a bigger nonprofit, I would highly suggest you just having view access, printing the documents, reviewing it, giving your notes,
yeah,
and going from there.
Yeah. Okay. So, what are some moments? So what are some big events or moments that might cause you to want to talk to your banker before you do it?
In what regard?
So, like, if I'm going to hire my first employee, should I reach out to my banker?
I mean, yeah, if they're your person, you're kind of your go-to person, like your, for your finance type mm-hmm. questions, if you don't have a financial planner or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yes. Please call your bank. Let us help you out as much as you can. Like, I mean, we have nonprofits that, you know, have EDs, they have a staff, all the way down to people that are running just on a board with no staff, no, hardly any overhead, you know?
Yeah.
So you really need to see if you can afford it. You know, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and tell you no to something. It's your organization at the end of the day. You know, I'm going to make suggestions. You know, I'm going to be your guide. Mm-hmm. But I don't, but, you know, our job as bankers is to help you be successful.
Right.
And so we're going to have those tough conversations with you. But at the end of the day, that's your decision.
Well, and I think that's kind of the point, right? Is if they have that relationship with their banker.
Exactly. They're not going to be afraid to ask the question.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to ask the question and lean into that banker's experience because mm-hmm. they can absolutely tell you without revealing names what other people have done in this scenario.
We can give you guidance. We can guide you. You know, if they're a true community bank, if they've been involved in the community and they have those relationships built up, they know what organizations have done and been through. And, you know, all we're there is to kind of share feedback and, you know, help guide you. It's guidance. It's basically what it is. It's a conversation and guidance.
Right. Yeah. So we've talked a little bit about red flags.
Yeah.
But what are some green flags people should look for in their banks? What do they, when they're shopping for that bank, what do they want to look for?
Okay. The biggest thing I could say, is that bank immersed into the community? If you are out in the community, do you see that bank's name as a sponsor? Are they part of the event? Are they participating? Because if they're not, it's just, to me, it's just like, okay, they're just putting their name up there for just for a sponsorship.
Well, I think it's a good point, though, because basically, if they're not out in the community, if you don't see them already working with nonprofits, how are they going to have the experience to help guide you?
Exactly. And are they there? Like, there's so many nonprofits organizations. There's so many banks that will come out and they will say they're there, but they're not there.
Yeah.
Their name's on the wall, you know, and great, they cut a check. It's great. But what else are they doing for you?
Yeah.
You know? Are they inviting you into their space? Are they having those deep conversations with you? Are they trying to say, hey, this may be a no right now, but let's get you to that yes.
Yeah.
You know?
Love that.
You know, let's get you to that yes. Let's work with you. Because that's who we are. We're here to serve the community. We have what's called, we call it purpose in a pocket. First United has this little
purpose in a
trifold.
Pocket.
Purpose in a pocket.
Love it.
and it has our serve model on it and how we serve the communities. I mean, our CEO, Greg Massey, his vision for 10 years is to serve 10 million lives, is to give back to 10 million. We've already exceeded that. And
I was going to say you have to.
We're well into, I don't even know right now where we're at, but so we're giving back to our communities in these four ways: faith, financial well-being, health, and personal growth. Because if we can give back in these four ways, we can build a stronger community.
I love that.
So if your bank is doing that, investing into the community where they're participating, they're showing up, they're going to the, you know, local toy drive, they're going to the, you know, they're collecting canned goods, they're showing up for that nonprofit, you know, not just cutting the check, but showing up for them, handing out the food, doing whatever they can to help that organization grow, mm-hmm. not just past the checking and the savings account and the whatever, but what can you do for them to help them grow past that? It's right. a relationship. It's not just, we're not just here for the, you know, to collect interest or whatever it is. We're here to help you succeed.
So green flags, let me make sure I'm summing this up and we didn't mm-hmm. miss something. So green flags are they in the community? Are mm-hmm. they present?
Yes.
Are they actually volunteering? Are they serving out yes. there in the community? Are they inviting you to their space, inviting you to get to know yeah. them? What else? Did I miss something?
I mean, I think those are the, I think those are the main three. I think those are things because, you know, at First United, we have these rooms called the community rooms.
Yes.
We are actually about to have one built over at Redbud. Hopefully it'll be done next month. Fingers crossed.
Well, this is going to come out in January. So in January, hopefully when this comes out, uh-huh. the community room is open.
Yes, please. Everyone come see it.
Yes.
My friend Denise and I, who works with me, he's our Spend Life Wisely ambassador. We've been waiting patiently,
it's
eagerly.
Been a little on the struggle bus. Yeah,
we're excited.
People,
because that room is kind of one of the things that makes us who we are as a bank, because it's where we're coming to you and meeting you where you're at. Mm-hmm. We're also letting you come into our space and letting you take a piece of First United with you.
Yeah.
And letting you use First United as far as like our room, you know, you've been in our lobbies and seen like the giveaways that we give away.
Yeah. You have swag.
With our pillar wall.
Bank with swag.
Yeah. I mean, that's other ways that we can give back. It's a book, it's a giveaway, but it's to enrich lives.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that space for nonprofits is major because not only is it a room, but it's a space for that not some nonprofits don't have.
Right.
You know, they can hold a small little get together, a lunch and learn,
board meeting.
A board meeting. Yeah. Yes. It's going to have a space for you to be able to serve lunch if you want to have an all day event, you know. So it's a great place. Our Craig Ranch location has one. Most of our locations here in DFW have one. So if you're hearing this and you're not in McKinney and you want to come talk to me, you know, we'll get you set up with one.
I love that you guys provide the space free of charge to nonprofits.
Yes.
I mean, I know it's not like a space for a gala. It's not like huge.
No.
But it is, it's a great space that allows them to grow, like yeah. you said. And I love that you guys also hold free education for yes. nonprofits in these. I think that's another green flag for people to look at is, yes. is your bank looking to educate you?
I have a passion around financial literacy and helping people get back on track because I know it's something that we need today. We needed it yesterday. Kids needed it way back when. And so I want to make sure that we have those classes. So I'm going to be teaching two of those next year.
Wow.
Here.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think that we all know the red flags. Yeah. We all know the red flags when they aren't getting back to you. They don't talk to you. They don't mentor you in any way. Mm. When you walk into that lobby, you don't know who to talk to.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been.
How many of us have gone into a bank and there's no one in there and it's just a machine in a corner? And it's
oh my gosh.
Like,
they're all scaling down.
Oh, I know.
They don't even have tellers anymore. Like you have to go to the ATM to do a Zoom call with a teller somewhere else in the country.
Oh my gosh. I don't even know what bank it was. And I walked in there and I was like, no, I can't do this.
Yeah, right. So, okay. Like,
I don't know who you are.
So say that you've done your research. You've found a bank that has all the green flags and you actually are going to get to talk to the banker. What questions should they ask?
The banker or the nonprofit?
What should the nonprofit ask the banker to interview them, decide that this is their banker they want to work with?
I think that if that banker and that nonprofit is not asking, you know, like past the checking account, what do you offer, all that stuff, you know, just that my banker, when you come into an organization, they should be telling you about what, you know, who they are, what we offer, but they should be getting to know you.
They should be asking you.
They should be asking you the questions. Mm-hmm. They should be sitting down, having that conversation with you, getting to know you. There should not be a banking conversation until they have discovered what your organization is, who it serves, and, you know, in their mind, they should be thinking of how they can benefit you.
Right. Not only what financial resources they can provide, yeah. but other resources.
Because at the end of the day, our jobs are to talk about financial resources for you, mm-hmm. but we don't know who you are.
Yeah.
You know, do we have, I mean, I can sit down and have a conversation with a customer, and in the back of my mind, I am thinking like, oh my God, I can plug them in with this person. I can get them over here with this person. You know, this tool would be perfect for them. But I'm also listening at the same time, because I want to make sure that they know they're heard.
Yeah.
And second of all, that I'm giving them something that's going to benefit them. I don't know how many times that I have been sold a line and said, oh, you know, we're going to get you this, this, and this, but they didn't listen to what I needed. They just sold me a product.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sell you a product. I'm going to give you something that's going to benefit you. If it's not going to benefit you, I'm not going to give it to you.
Yeah. Banking is not one size fits all.
It's not one size fits all.
And I think everybody doesn't know that.
Yes.
So
you think that you have to have this and you have to have that. You don't.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize they just open a savings account and they don't realize that maybe a money market is a better solution for them to earn interest.
Absolutely.
I mean, or that just leaving their money sitting in a checking account and letting it build up to thinking they have a high balance, that they're doing great. Yeah. Great. You have money in the bank. That's awesome. But let that money work for you. Let it earn some interest.
Yeah.
You know, like, because depending on what that balance is, that could be a good return.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, okay, for all the smaller nonprofits out there that are thinking, well, I'm just not big enough to matter. This doesn't really apply to me. What would you say to them?
You should not think in that wavelength. No matter how big or small you are, you matter.
Absolutely.
You matter. Everybody started from nothing and made something. Look at Jeff Bezos and starting in his garage, and look at where he is today. You know, the biggest nonprofit today started somewhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You come in, they should treat you like the multimillionaire that just walked out.
Absolutely.
They should treat you just like anybody.
I'll give you a good example. Hugs Cafe.
Yeah.
Right? Look how tiny they started out. And now they're building their headquarters, headquarters.
It's an amazing
looking headquarters. They just opened their second cafe in Dallas.
Yes.
You know, and
it's a great organization.
Tell me that they didn't do that without a banking relationship.
Yes.
With several banks, I bet.
Several banks, several relationships,
yeah.
You know, immersing themselves in the community, having those deep conversations, like, you know, getting to know people,
yeah.
You know, not just in your, not just your banker, but your bank
yeah.
as a whole.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. All right, man. I feel like I've asked so much of you
today,
but I'll ask, is there anything that you want to talk about that we've missed?
You know, I think the biggest thing you can say to a nonprofit is don't be afraid of open communication. Don't be afraid to ask those hard questions. Just come in and let's have a conversation. If you leave without opening an account, if you leave without even, if you took something away from that meeting, then we have done our job.
Right.
If you took something away from that meeting, we've done our job.
Yeah. Don't be afraid of judgment. I think that's what stops a lot of people from walking in the door.
And it's not even like, you shouldn't be judged on a certain level, you know, don't be afraid for me to say, hey, I wouldn't necessarily do it that way, but this is what I've seen. Be afraid. Be open to that advice.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think so many people are afraid to, I don't know how to say it, you don't know what you don't know type thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're afraid to ask that question because they're going to know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're oh, I don't want to know, you know, type thing.
Yeah. Your banker should be interested in helping you know.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Again, red flag, green flag situation here, but that's the point, is if you can be brave and go try to find a banker that fits you, you're going to benefit so much from it.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And it's not just a financial
It's going to make your life so much easier.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's a relationship. You should be able to, if you need to text that person, text them. If you need to email them at midnight, they may not get back to you right away, but we're going to have that open conversation with you. Right. I'm going to call you. You know, you called me, you know,
I texted you.
You know, depending on how much it is, I text, but I don't text as fast as some kids today.
Yeah.
And so I will call you.
Yeah.
And we'll go sit and have lunch. We'll do whatever we have to do to make sure we come up with a solution.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Andrew. You're welcome. I really appreciate you being here today. Thank you for having me. Yeah. Of course, of course. And if anybody has any questions for Andrew, we're going to have a link to his LinkedIn profile and links to the bank in here. And if you guys have more questions about trying to find the right banker for you, please feel free to reach out to either of us. And thanks so much.
Thanks.
See y'all next episode.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Nonprofit Nook. We're building better nonprofits together. If you found today's episode helpful, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with other nonprofit leaders who need support. Follow the Nonprofit Nook on social media and sign up for our email list for extra tips and updates. You can also visit thenonprofitnook.com to see the show notes and leave a comment telling me what topics you want next. Your feedback shapes the show. See you next time.